This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody doing? How's things going in your life? How are you? This is the Out of Bounds podcast. My name is Adam Jabber, and we've got a very fun episode and my first episode in person in like a year. So that was fun. I can't tell you how much more I enjoy it, how much more I enjoy the conversation in person. No knock on people that like are going to continue this format, like doing it over Zoom forever. But it's just not for me. I can't get behind, like I can't get excited about it in the same way because like I've had some amazing conversations with people over Zoom, but in person is just, it's way better. So, on that topic, we have Zach McCarthy today. Zach McCarthy is, a skier, he works in a shop, but one of the reasons I had him on today was to talk about Inclusive Ski Touring, which is a new company that he started to get more people skiing, all people skiing, and that's kind of the idea. So we toured a bit in the morning and then recorded this episode at a friend's house, Ryan Murphy. So thank you for allowing us to randomly crash your house, Ryan, but it was great. I'm glad we got the opportunity to do this. I'm glad we got to kind of talk through some of the things with Inclusive Ski Touring, getting people into ski touring in general, and so much more. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And yeah, we'll be back Tuesday with a very fun episode. By the way, if you haven't listened to, voice crack there, if you haven't listened to The Pursuit, you can check out yesterday's episode with Elliot the Jort Lord, a.k.a. the Jort Lord, from Ripton Co. Ripton makes some awesome jorts, athletic jorts. How many times am I going to say jort in promoting this episode? But you should check that one out. Really good episode. Adam's really starting to figure it out as an interviewer, I think. I think 15 episodes in or something, he's going to be significantly better than me. So go listen to that if you haven't listened to his show yet. Sounds like we're going to be on for another 10 episodes after this 10 is up. So you'll be hearing more from him on Wednesdays throughout the summer, and we'll try to keep giving you some fun content. There's also another show in the works that'll be very cool, and I'm very excited to share with you guys, but we're just working on some details now. Before we jump into this episode with Zach McCarthy, though, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to Cannon Mountain. If you're a listener of the show, probably know Cannon Mountain's been a sponsor for a little while now. If you have not been there yet this season, go skiing at Cannon. I cannot tell you this enough. The testimonials from people that ski there, including myself, are always fantastic. It's just a different New England ski experience. So I would highly, highly recommend you make the trip up to Franconia as safe as possible. But make the trip up to Franconia, go skiing at Cannon. If you're an Indie Pass holder, you have 2 days to Cannon on there, and they are probably the most worthwhile 2 days spent at Cannon, especially if you hit the days right. So head over to Cannon, let them know we sent you, and I don't know, if you want to go skiing there, let me know. Hit me up, shoot me a DM, shoot me an email, whatever. Please remember to like, rate, review the show on iTunes if you can. It helps the show tremendously for those Apple Podcast listeners. For Spotify listeners, just keep doing what you do. I appreciate you guys. And everybody else. I always forget about everybody else that listens on these other things. But anywhere you're listening, I really, really appreciate it. It's been great. So without further ado, here is Zach McCarthy. All right, Zach McCarthy, tell people who you are. Tell people a little bit about yourself. Hold on, like, let's kind of get it going.
Yeah, so I'm a 23-year-old skier out of Western Maine. I grew up skiing just weekend warrior style with the family. Morphed a lot more after I started for 2 years at college down in Boston. Ended up moving back here, and since that point, I've really focused on skiing a lot more and focused myself into the outdoor industry. So
That's kind of it.
Yeah, that's really it. I like the mountains. I don't really consider myself much of an athlete in any sort of sense. Like, I don't consider myself anybody is really doing anything special. I have a passion for going out and skiing. I love getting into the backcountry. I love exploring, and I love sharing that with others. And it's morphed into more now, but I still just see myself as someone who likes to get outside.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason that I wanted to talk to you, too, is because, like, this is kind of in the early stages, but I like what you're doing a lot. And I think it's important. I think it's important for younger people to want to be involved in the industry at a higher level. You know, like, it's been the old guys club for a long time. And I think somebody like you brings a lot to the table when it comes to that. Like, you've got a lot of great ideas. And first of all, let me just back up for a second. Like, you are definitely an athlete. Like, you kicked my ass all day today. And I appreciate it. Like, I wouldn't have gotten out otherwise. So thank you for that. Regardless of all the issues.
No, I mean, more and more people have been telling me that, and they're like, yeah. No, you are, you're whatever. And I don't know, I guess a lot of people from my high school who like aren't doing quite as much now and who might have been way more athletic than me back when we were younger, whatever it might have been. I'm certainly getting out and doing some stuff, but that's not the goal of it. I guess when I think of an athlete, I'm thinking of someone who's out there continuously trying to push themselves. In that, like, if I was a running athlete, then getting out there and focusing on my times. Like, I'm certainly not a skimo athlete. I have no interest in that. I like getting out skiing. I like pushing myself in the mountains, and that's really it. I mean, it's all for fun, and if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
No, and I think that's really important, like, to hear somebody that is a great skier and is a good athlete say that, I think is important for a lot of people. Because a lot of people just look at it and they're like, I want to go and I want to ski tux. Like, I want to go and I want to ski this line, and that's all I want to do so I can go home and I can tell my buddies. It's not so much for them. They're not doing it because they want to further their own skiing in a lot of cases. So I think even just acknowledging that you're there to have fun is a really important thing.
Absolutely. That's the biggest basis of what skiing is for me. You know, it's one of the few sports that you can get out there. You can do it your entire life. You can share it with your family. You can share it with your kids. You're able to do it until you're really not able to walk anymore. And there's just so few things out there that are like that. There's so few things where it doesn't take a group of everybody else to make it happen. If you want to go, you can go out and make it happen. And it should be fun. That's the root of it. I think too many people get so wrapped up in progression or trying to impress somebody or do the next biggest, coolest thing. And just getting out there and having a smile on your face and enjoying your day out there and sharing it with other people, I think, is really the most important thing.
Mm. Yeah, and I agree. What's home for you? Like, what's home base? Where do you ski mostly? Like, obviously, like, we skied Summit Tux today, and that's cool. It sounds like you ski there pretty regularly, but like, what's home base for you?
Sure. Yeah. So right now I'm working a little bit at Sunday River. I've actually been moving away from there a little bit, but that was my home mountain. That's where I grew up skiing. I have a spot about 15 minutes or so away from the mountain.
Cool.
So I've just grown up sort of around that area, getting out. I barely ski resort anymore. Yeah. I think I've had 2 resort days this year and close to 65 days on snow.
Jesus.
I mean, there's been weeks where I feel lazy, or there's good months and bad months.
Yeah.
But you know, the biggest thing is just getting out and the exploring side of it. Like, backcountry for me, the adventure skiing side of things is really something that hits home, and just getting out for an exploration to go out and just enjoy being out in the wilderness. You might not get the most skiing, but being okay with that and sort of accepting it. So I really enjoy like getting out and poking around, say Grafton Notch or getting out into the whites, like what we did today. That's always a blast. But just getting to someplace different where other people aren't really going to is what I like to do.
Yeah. How did you get into the kind of like adventure skiing? Because like so many people right now, and I've had this conversation before with others, but I'd like to get your take on it. How do you suggest people get into it? Like, how did you get into it? Like, cause it's skiing, but it's not skiing, you know what I mean? Like, it's very different than like Mommy, Johnny and Susie go to, you know, Sunday River, for example, and just like ski all day and everything's safe and everything's taken care
Absolutely.
Of. Like, there's so many other external factors. There's so many other things involved. I mean, how many issues did we see today on like a casual day? Some self-inflicted, some not, like some just watching other people's issues. it's insane. Like, it's a totally different thing.
Oh, yeah. No, and it definitely is. And being prepared for that, I think, is really huge. Just recognizing the risk is sort of the biggest step, knowing the different risks that are out there, knowing that you don't have that safety net of ski patrol and sort of seeing all that. I mean, the best way that I like to think of it is like, think of the same, if you're going out into the backcountry skiing, go out with the mindset where you might walk out. If you are going out and you're happy to skin in and you have to walk out the entire way and you're still having a great day with it, I think that that's really the number one thing on, not on safety or getting out there, but at least getting into the adventure side of things. Like, you don't always know what you're going to get. It is not a perfectly groomed trail. The conditions might be horrible down bottom and you're hoping for better conditions up high. And it's just accepting that there is so many different moving parts that you can't always control all of them. And you really just have to accept it for what it is. as far as getting into skiing myself and backcountry skiing, that really started from, I guess,
Not like skiing like the first day on hill ever, you know, like I'm talking like, because what we're seeing more and more of now is we are seeing a lot of people go out there and this is their first experience ever is just ski touring. But I think for a lot of people, it's they were already decent skiers. They were already passionate about the sport. And now they're doing it for a number of different reasons, right? Pandemic. They don't want to wait in lines. They want some exercise. They saw their buddy do it. Like, these are all reasons people get into it. How did you start getting into it? Because I think a lot of the problem with the whole backcountry sector is the ease of entry, right? It's like the actual, like, and again, I do think it should be hard. I do think people should like give a shit, for lack of a better term. Because if you make a mistake, it might not be your life that you're caught. Like, you can actually hurt somebody else. So it is important. I don't think it should be that easy. Like, there needs to be steps.
We'll get to it later on. Totally. More on that side of things. But I definitely think that, like, nobody doesn't have business being out there. Like, anyone who wants to go should go. And everyone has a right to go. That land is for everybody's usage. How do we bridge that gap, though,
is my question.
Yeah. So I guess for myself, I started off skiing a little bit. I had a neighbor of mine when I was very young. And I was lucky enough to get out and go touring with him 2 or 3 times as I was a little kid. It sort of put it into my mind. I knew what was there. And then I, like you were saying, sort of just outgrew the resort. There's a lot of people who have been in those shoes or just looking for better snow and trying to figure it out. So I ended up sort of convincing anyone and anyone I could to go out with me. I knew I was comfortable as a skier and I could get myself down stuff, but getting out to it and getting up the mountain was definitely a struggle at that time. So I just kept going to Little Glades, different stuff in like the Granite Backcountry line spots, or even skiing the Sherburne or the Doublehead Trail, whatever it might be, just trying to get out and do that. Now I got to meet a couple of my really close ski friends just skiing on random days out at Crescent Ridge, actually. There were days where it was like negative 20. So anyone you saw out there, your immediate thought was like, all right, well, they're out there, they're suffering on the same sort of day, like, must be pretty cool. It's not any random person.
Yeah,
like,
you're
choosing to ski here then. and then besides that, sort of just taking the moves towards trying to get more involved and just meet other people. There's a huge struggle of being able to find partners to get out with. I was doing things like volunteering for Andrew's Friday Night Lights just to help get out and set up, just to meet whoever was out there, to build a relationship with him. And just to get more involved. In the summertime, I was volunteering to cut ski glades with Granite Backcountry Alliance. And, you know, the first few times that I was doing this in the first summer, I wasn't backcountry skiing a lot. I wasn't, like, known whatsoever. I was just some kid who looked like he had no idea what he was doing. If you saw me skiing, I was never concerned. But if you saw me skinning in and you knew what you were doing, you'd look over and be like, what is this person doing? Yeah. And, you know, I kind of just accepted that. That was what it was. I couldn't change that. I didn't have the money to buy all the gear overnight. But I just kept doing little things to get involved, reaching out to different people. I would always show up if I made plans to do anything with anybody, even if it was the most mellow day and it turned to the crappiest weather. If I said I was going to be there, I was going to be there. And I really just tried to focus on that sort of stuff and really put myself out there into times that are uncomfortable. Now for other people really looking to get the same looking to get out into the backcountry. I guess it's a great opportunity to introduce a little bit more of what I'm doing on the other side of things. Yeah. So I've started this organization, Inclusive Ski Touring. Now we're looking to do a few other things in the future, but for right now we're hosting Sunday group tours at Mount Abram. Now this is a free group tour. It is open to absolutely everybody. With the name like Inclusive Ski Touring, the biggest thing is that we want beginners from like we want beginners to experts to feel comfortable there. We want absolutely everybody, whether it's your first time or your thousandth time out skiing, to get out to enjoy yourself. And to recognize that you're not just there for yourself, but for everyone else there. It's a great chance to get out, to meet other friends, to meet other people, to get more comfortable in your own sense, and to try out gear if you haven't had the opportunity to, or simply to get into the sport. And that's the sort of thing where, whether it's coming to the Inclusive Ski Touring Sunday group tours that we do, or something similar like that, but getting out with a good group of people on resort a few times, and getting comfortable with the gear, I think is really the biggest steps into getting into the backcountry and taking that a step further.
Yeah. And I think that's part, I think what you're doing is really important. And I think we should talk about that a little more, but I do kind of want to hammer home the importance of people actually going out, skinning up a resort or something super mellow and just learning how to use their stuff. I think that's really important for people to start. Like, that's a great opportunity for people to just go out and like figure out how to click into their bindings, you know, figure out what to do if a situation goes awry, right? Like, those kind of things are insanely important, I think, for getting into a sport that's the same but different, right? Because there's a level of comfort that people feel getting into ski touring because they're already skiers, but then as soon as stuff is like a little different, they're like, we're in a totally different thing now. So I think that's really important. And I also think finding partners is a huge barrier to entry for a lot of people, especially during the pandemic. Like, it's hard for people to just be like, yo, saw you skiing, do you want to ski together sometime? Like, do you want to go out?
And it
like,
can be awkward too.
Dude, it's weird too.
Like, plenty of those weird messages. Dude, I've had plenty of people get back to me and like, I'm sure. Yeah. Like,
I can tell you firsthand, dude.
I read a message and I'm like, "Yeah, oh, that's a little weird." And I'm sure I've sent similar messages before. And just because someone says no, or like, if you've sent me a message and I didn't get back, like, it doesn't mean that that's anything against you. Like, whoever it might be, just might have been incredibly busy or had a million other things going on. And for a lot of us who work in the industry, I mean, we barely have time to ski with our friends and to get out and do that.
That's trash. That's dumb. We should actually get rid of that part.
That gets very hard sometimes. Yeah. And I like personally have felt where you want to get out and you want to help these people get into it, but it's also like, I got 2 days off and I'm trying to ski with my couple of friends.
Hang on a second. Did you create Inclusive Ski Touring so that you could go ski touring more? Is that what the plan was?
Listen, there's a double-edged sword. No, the initial starting point for that is like a true passion I have for getting other people out.
Yeah.
I really love sharing it with others. Whether even long before I had Inclusive Ski Touring, I was dragging friends that I grew up with or went to high school with, and they were okay skiers. And I was like, hey, listen, come on, come do this with me.
Yeah.
And just like trying to share with them that experience, that love, that passion that I had. And it would always be a slog in on snowshoes or something.
Yeah.
But just getting them out there and sharing that experience. And Inclusive Ski Touring was taking that to a next level of being able to share it with much more people, be able to do it in a much more professional sense. And yeah, if there's a couple of days where I can get out and spend more time touring and less time working in a ski shop, then that's fantastic.
I'm kidding, obviously. Like, I know, like, your intentions are very clear, and that's part of the reason that I wanted to have you on, is because you can, even just talking to you for 5 minutes, you can tell how excited it makes you at the prospect of, like, just being able to take people out and go skiing, regardless of what setup they're on. Like, because there's so much made out, and, like, I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it, I'm sure. Talking about gear too much, where it's like, gear is important. Gear this, gear that, gear that.
Listen, dude, I'm in shiny, gear head.
Dude, that's like, I'm in shiny new shoes and like new skis all the time. And like, and dude, you know what? At the end of the day, I adjusted my binding with my fucking house key at the top of Tux today. Like, even me is in no position to just be like, I'm perfect every time about my gear. So like that, it's a weird place to be, right? Where you're like, I want everybody to know that it doesn't matter what gear they're on. However, if they want recommendations, I will happily give them recommendations.
Absolutely. I'm right in that same spot. Like, if you have any recommendations, please reach out to me. I'm happy to help out in any sort of sense.
We'll tell you what's up for sure.
And I'll give you my honest opinion on gear too. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, this is great if it's not.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there is so many people out there. Like, how often have you heard, oh, this guy's boot, like, post hole in the skin track, for example?
Yeah.
I kind of went off of that recently.
No, for sure.
You know, the gear is thousands and thousands of dollars. Never mind for just one setup, but if you have multiple setups, if you have an Alpine setup and a touring setup, not everybody can afford that. Mm. And not everybody is ever going to be able to. And not everyone goes enough to even think about actually buying it. But that doesn't give them any less of a right to go out and enjoy the backcountry than those people who have the multi-$1,000 setups or us who work in the industry and do have all this sort of gear. You know, just because you don't have the gear shouldn't make you feel like you don't want to get out there. Strap on a pair of snowshoes, throw your skis on your back, and walk up there. They're hiking trails. They are for absolutely everybody. The backcountry elitists don't own it. It's not something that they have the first right to use. A lot of this land is on national forest land or public land that's open for absolutely everybody. And these are hiking trails that are being used with multiple purposes. And skiing is, frankly, the last purpose of it. It's just something that people end up doing on it. So I wouldn't let other people mitigate that. And
so, not to interrupt you, but like the... So I'm like kind of conflicted on this, and I'd like you to kind of talk me through the differences here. Like, because to me, right, post-holing the skin track is avoidable, right? Like if you are in snowshoes going up the left side of the trail, say like, for example, the Sherb. Today it's like one side is groomed, like it's fully groomed on one or through the middle or whatever. The opportunity is there to use the left-handed, right? Does it matter in this situation? And is that what most people are talking about? I don't know. And I just like, my concern, I guess, is now we're like, we're sending a confused message to people. Is that
absolutely,
you know,
no,
like,
I totally
because
hear what you're
I'm
saying.
Confused, you know, and I'm in the industry and I am like, to me, like knowing all the little nitty gritty things is like kind of what I like to do. So is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it benefit? Because like, for example, like I ski Greylock a lot recently, and they have a sign at the base of the trail that says "Don't post all the skin track." Like,
and that
they
is
put
one
it there.
Thing. That is so very, very specific. That
exactly.
is a skin track.
Right.
They are saying they are. It's not an uphill track. It is specifically calling that a skin track.
Totally.
And at that, no, they have every right to say no. If you're going to be on this, you have to be on snowshoes.
That's where my confusion is, I guess.
And I might miss up the statistic, but I'm pretty sure. The TRT is the most popular hiking trail in the United States.
It's got to be.
If not the world. But I'm almost positive in the continuous United States, it's the most popular hiking trail.
Yeah.
It is a hiking trail.
Totally.
Hikers or somebody hiking who is just hiking should never be ridiculed for using a hiking trail for what it's used for.
Yep.
Now, I've heard the same sort of thing going up the Amonoosuc Ravine Trail up on the backside, like heading towards the Cog area.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd. That is a hiking trail designed for hiking.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a Granite Backcountry Alliance skin track that's specifically cut for winter use only as a skin track, that's one thing. But people ridiculing others for hiking up a trail that is a hiking trail
totally wrong. Totally,
is absolutely insane.
Yeah,
you are the outlier as a skier.
For sure.
You're the one who's going to be flying back down that trail at ridiculous speeds comparatively to the person walking down. And
you're the one that wants more access to more land and more terrain and more this and
so
more
that,
right?
So why are you
right?
trying to stop it or mitigate it from other people using those same things?
You know what's really funny is like, and it's not funny, it's kind of sad, but like, so many, and I've had to do this myself, so many different areas are like pushing for more mountain bike trails, pushing for stuff to be inclusive so that everybody can use it always. Like, we're like, we just want to be able to use the stuff that's in our backyard and share it with everybody. And like, that issue seems to be a universal one across like all sports, across all use areas, right? And I'm sure there's somebody that like loves to ride dirt bikes and is like, how come dirt bikers aren't included in this conversation? It's like, this is different. It's human powered. It's like, we're in a totally different kind of space. I guess like what I don't want to see happen, and I backing up a little, I agree with you fully. Like, I think that, like, ridiculing someone because they don't have an uphill setup is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. We need more people in the industry, skiing, snowboarding, whatever, snowshoeing, hiking.
And that being said, a niche sport. Just to cut you off real quick, yeah. If you don't have an uphill setup and you want to try an uphill setup or you want to get out touring for the first time, you've never been, right. Send me an email at Zach@InclusiveSkiTouring. Our group tours are really focused on getting people out for the first time. That is like getting people together, linking people up. But I'm happy to set you up with a free demo. If you've never been touring before, totally. And you want to get out there, you want to give it a shot and just experience it before setting up or throwing in all that money to it,
yeah.
Reach out, send me an email, and I'll get you a demo for the day.
Yeah, because you don't know if you're going to like it. Like, you straight up might, it might not be for you. Like, I'm not sitting here telling everybody that they're, like, that skiing is for everybody and everybody should just get enough. Like, I don't think that that's true at all, you know? So, and I think that's one of the other reasons. I think inclusive ski touring is a real, and what you're doing is really, really important. Like, Mount Abrams is lucky to have you because it's, you're doing something that you realize is necessary that other people have not yet realized is necessary. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of why I think this is so valuable to talk about right now, not like 2 years from now when mm-hmm. you've like fully developed. Like, I think this is important for people to know.
Well, hopefully it's fully developed in
2 years. I mean, maybe, but like,
well.
Right. Or maybe it's fully developed tomorrow. I don't know. You already have a website that's better than my website, and I've had this thing for 4 years, you know, or 3 years.
Listen,
but like,
it's been a lot of long computer hours outside of work.
For sure.
Trying to make it happen.
And I respect you for it.
I got high hopes.
Like, I think you're really committed to doing it, but this is, the timing is correct. I told somebody else this yesterday. The timing is correct for this kind of thing because, like, you're hitting it perfectly. People are learning about it at a rapid rate. Like, we saw that dude with his shift today, like, blown off, and he was like, what is holy shifting? Like, what is this? Like, and he's looking at it, and he's just, like, so confused and lucky that he ran into, like,
yeah,
us and your buddies.
Ski techs.
Yeah, and, dude.
Like, the guys who work in ski shops. Yeah. You're like, yeah, you're good. We'll help you out. And just making sure his forward pressure is good.
He was alone, but, too. Huh?
Like, yeah.
That's insane.
It could have been a walking down the entire mountain sort of day.
Totally. Yeah. And so, like, for background for people listening, like, we ran into this guy on our way down who had blown his brake off and literally was sitting in a ravine, basically, like in a little river.
Yeah, there's a drainage kind of going in before a little headwall area. There's just some open water with some undermined snow, and he broke through
and
was,
he's literally
like, laying in,
it. In
a way where like his boots aren't in the water, and if he moves too much, he would go in the water.
Totally.
He would have been like, wouldn't have been sucked in, and it was definitely warm enough where it wouldn't have been like too much of a concern. But one of his skis was in the pond, and like he was just broken through in an area that like, you should have been a little bit, probably could have been a little more careful going into, but we also didn't see it before we got there. You or I could have done the exact same
100%.
Thing, skied over that section of snow, 100%
and just broke
I
would
right
have.
Through.
Like, I mean, like, I'm the same size as that guy. Like, definitely could have easily popped right through that thing, and I would have been sitting in a puddle the exact same way. Like, and I don't think that's not the point I'm making with his situation. The point is finding backcountry partners, like people to be out there with, because that dude was alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, we didn't roll by, or if your other buddies didn't help him, like, I mean, that dude's could be actually in serious trouble. Like, who knows how long he was going to sit there.
Sure.
If we weren't like, hey, roll over to the left a little bit. Like, I'll take your ski. Like,
well, the other thing too is the one ski that I pulled out of the water before then, I had my poles like jammed onto it. That one was getting sucked under.
Yeah.
So if that ski did get sucked under,
dude,
like if I hadn't
stuck.
Stopped
that dude's
that
wet.
One,
at best case scenario, that dude's wicked wet. Like, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to go out and get people that you're comfortable with and comfortable being like, hey, like, I don't know how to do this. Teach me how to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
And the
like,
communication with
totally.
Your backcountry partners is huge.
Totally.
If you can't communicate with them, those are not the backcountry partners for you. And if they're going to ignore the risks or how you're feeling, then it's a hard decision to make, but that's not the backcountry partner for you.
Dude, I did
you know,
it to
you
today. I told
to say,
you, right? Like, I was like, dude, I'm not the best back. I don't know
but
everything.
Even, but what did I just say following that was you saying that gave you a step above
for
so
sure.
many people like, just recognizing, hey, I don't have all the knowledge out there, and I don't
right.
either. I'm certainly
totally.
Not an avalanche
totally.
Professional.
Totally.
I make the best decisions that I know how to make and
totally.
From everything that I've been taught personally. But if I have anyone around, I'm lucky enough to get out with this gentleman, Stu Johnson, who works with East Coast Avalanche Education. He was out in Utah. He's been an avalanche professional going on 15 years or something like that now.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm out with him, he's not going to get out there and play guide or do that. But if we're making observations, I want to take the step back and learn from what he is doing. Yeah. I'm going to pay very close attention to everything that he's doing and further that conversation. And I will be the first person to tell him, hey, Stu, I'm not entirely sure what's going on here. I'm not quite sure. Why did you make this decision? Yeah. Why was it? But being able to talk those things through with your partners is what makes you a better backcountry skier, a backcountry totally. Enthusiast overall. And that's how you learn. That's how you stay safe over the long term.
And it's, dude, honestly, it's how you don't fuck shit up. Like, it's like you actually are able to have the conversation, learn stuff more, and then help somebody else down the line. Like, it gives you the ability to be like, hey, you're stuck. Let me help you. Because I'll tell you what, like, 50% of the people that were out there today maybe really knew what they were doing. And then the people, there was people that came up to where I was today and were like, this is my first time skiing here. This seems really nice, but I'm scared. And I'm like, I don't have good advice for you. I'm sitting here adjusting my binding with a key. Like, I'm not the guy to look for.
Back that one up a little bit. Like, both Adam and I should have noticed this one at the car. Like, the binding, so it's a Marker Alpinist, and the pins are facing the way, like, he, when he stepped in, he should have stepped in and, like, locked into the binding. It wasn't spun around, and he had recently done like a demo day with some of the, it was a bigger boot sole length, so
we talk about that for a second? Like, let's really back up and be like, hey, like, ski industry, if it's a 27.5, make it a 315. Stop being like, oh, this 25 is a 294, this 25, dude, I've had three different boots this year, every one of them have been a different BSL by 10 millimeters or more. That Dabello was like a 294.
Yeah, you can, like, have a Dabello, like, I know, like, Trigger Fishers that are 27.5
or 304.
Like, yeah.
And the Mindbender I had adjusted it to was a 314.
Yeah. So, like, that's a 10 millimeter difference on the binding. And when Adam was going to step in, it was like just doing something funky. And both of us being ski technicians should have looked at him and been like, oh, yeah, you're off.
We both knew something was wrong, but we just fixed a different problem. We were like, yeah, oh, it does rotate. Like,
spun it around and called it good. Yeah. Sorry if that's not making perfect sense. The point is that it was a simple problem that either of us should have noticed, and clearly we did not have enough coffee or something.
Yeah,
because we didn't notice until you were halfway up Red Gully transitioning to go down, and I got a text that you're fixing your binding with a husky. So,
is what it is. I mean, and those kind of things. But, I mean, I'm very lucky that I know how to adjust the binding. If I'm a customer or something, like, I'm... terrified. Yeah, I have no idea what to do, dude. Like, anyway, I think we've harped on the importance of learning backcountry stuff and getting a good partner. Yeah. Like, I feel like people know that stuff. And if they don't, like, they're learning it right now because we won't shut the fuck up about it. Like, and I think it's important for us to talk about it. Like, I really do think that this is a point that's worth driving home. However, on a similar topic, where can people go to get educated? Like, what you're doing is awesome. Right now, what you're doing is very localized. Like, it's within range. Like, I would love to go. It's so far for me.
Yeah, you're not going to drive four overs from Vermont to come out.
I'm not. Like, I would love to say that I'm going to, but I'm not going to. So where can people go to get educated? Do you have places in mind that you like? Where can people go to find a community? And, like, as much as I want to suggest Facebook groups, like, I hate Facebook, like, and everybody on Facebook is just ridiculous.
Oh,
but, like,
I'm sure
it
you
seems
feel
like
the same way I do reading through those Facebook
groups.
Oh,
dude, I don't read my brain.
Your, like, just,
dude,
you can't get going on any of them, especially the ski sales.
Dude, I do not want to start on I do not want to start on Facebook because people are going to A, start Facebook requesting me, and B, they're going to start being like, hey, like, what do you think about that?
Oh, bro, yeah, you get enough messages.
If you send me anything from Facebook, I'm blocking you. Like, I hate Facebook. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to the planet, I do believe. However, there is good opportunity there
to
find partners.
Backcountry partners.
Yeah. Where do you, what do you do?
Yeah, so it's definitely, it's a hard thing. And it involves you putting yourself out there and possibly being a little bit uncomfortable with certain things, you know? Whether it's just putting a post out there on a Facebook forum or any similar sort of forum and just trying to find other people who are going to do it. Now, if you have any local organization, like in Vermont, there's Rasta. Find out, reach out, send them a message, offer to volunteer. Offer to volunteer for any uphill organization or organization that is doing cool stuff that you stand behind. If you volunteer 1-2 days, you know, maybe you don't want to spend your day volunteering, but the people that you meet there, that's going to be worth your time alone. And then, I mean, these are people who are choosing to spend their free time doing the exact same thing that you're doing. So chances are you're probably going to like them. the amount of really cool people I've met cutting ski glades with granite backcountry lines. And it's just because, oh, okay, it's a Saturday during the summertime and you're choosing to spend your Saturday out cutting glades. Or it's a Friday afternoon and going into Andrew's Friday Night Lights event. Mm-hmm. And I'm out here, I mean, a while back, but out skinning up to set up lights with a couple of people that I don't know. I've never met before until right then.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable and I'm quiet and I'm unsure. But getting out there and continuing to do that to make the point, you know, it stands out to people. If you're choosing to spend your free time doing something like that and furthering the community, people will remember. People don't forget those little things, and it makes a difference. Or even just spending Saturday morning or Sunday morning at resort. I mean, all the resorts across the East Coast right now, if you show up there an hour before lifts open and you skin a lap, I would bet that you're going to see one or two other people there.
Totally.
And just say hello. Chat with them, you know?
And let me, like, this part's important, I think. Everybody that skis is weird. Like, everybody's a little awkward. Like, it's fine. Like, you're
all
like, exactly. That's my point. It's like, everybody thinks that somebody else is more awkward than them.
Yeah.
It's not true. Everybody's awkward. Everybody's got their own weird quirks. It's part of being uncomfortable in a sport that is uncomfortable.
But the thing is, you already have something that you can relate to about. If you're both out there on your Saturday at 6 a.m. when other people are hungover and you decided to not go to the bar, set your alarm early, and wake up early to go skin on the resort, even if you've never met the person, you don't have any of that, you still have all that in common. And chances are they're going to be a pretty cool person, at least cool to you, if they're deciding to do that same sort of stuff that you're doing, and could be a great person to get out with. And even if it's just linking up to do a lap with them every Saturday morning, but then you got someone else to go. And just another person to hold you accountable and say, hey man, we had plans. Like, what's up? Where are you?
I'm not going to beat on that one too hard because I'm usually the flaky one. I'm like, and we just talked about this. Like, I'm the one that's like, hey bro, like at 5 a.m. can't go skiing, sorry. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's sometimes I have issues, some days I feel bad, like you're not physically or mentally there. And honestly, like, more often than not for me, it's like I got shit to, like, if other shit comes up, it is what it is. But it's important to show up for the people that want you there, but it's also important to go out there and put yourself out there in this industry, because this industry is so small, but it's also so large, I guess, for lack of a better way to phrase that. There's so many people wanting to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
You just got to find them and talk to them.
I mean, there's so many people who are in those exact. So this is why we're talking about this so much right now, is because there are so many people out there who are looking to get into backcountry skiing or skiing a little bit and looking to take the next sort of step. I mean, that's why we've dedicated this much time. So whoever you are out there and you're in these shoes, you are not alone. There are so many other people doing the same sort of things. And it's just taking that next step to reach out to somebody, to get out, to volunteer, to show up to these events. That's where you're going to meet people.
So I think all that's really good. I think all that's like insanely important, and I hope people actually really understand that. But what I want to talk about now is gear stuff, because you are a gearhead, like a self-proclaimed gearhead. What have you seen that's out there right now that you personally really like regardless of branding, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear, oh, dude, Blizzard Zero G is the best ski in the entire world, because I won't believe you, and like, I shouldn't believe, and you won't believe me.
I'm not the person to say that either. I won't sit here and tell you things are great.
I'm just, dude, the Blizzard, hey, now listens to this, and I know he's going to listen to it and be like, hey, like, what'd you say that about Zero G skis? Fine, it skis just as well as every other Alpine touring dedicated
ski. No, but it's also,
ski,
it's not similar to most skis. There's no one ski that is the ski for absolutely everyone.
Yeah.
And I do like the Zero G. I like the Zero G definitely more than you like the Zero G.
Oh, for sure.
But it's not for everybody either, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of those really stiff skis are not for everybody. Especially the touring skis. I mean, we have a lot of stiff, super lightweight skis that's a full carbon makeup. I would love to see more and more people getting out there and like the Vocal Blaze. That's a ski that I absolutely love. You know, I have no affiliation with Vocal whatsoever. For me, that ski is perfect. It's like, it's an all wood core ski. There is a tiny piece of metal underfoot that just makes the mounting platform a lot more sturdy, but it's a lightweight ski. It's designed to go touring. If you're getting out into the East Coast glades, into any sort of soft snow, doing that, that's not fantastic option.
Or a rustler.
Or a rustler. Like, you know, the rustler is
Like the nines are not going to be overly heavy. It's not a ski that has touring in mind. It certainly weighs a little bit more, but you don't need that super, super lightweight. I mean, if you're only going to have one quiver, why sacrifice every bit of the downhill for the uphill?
Yeah.
Now, so for skis, I think it's really, really important to look at what you like to do on the mountain. If you're an ex-racer and you want something that's really, really stiff, I mean, you know that you like a stiff ski, that's one thing. If you're somebody who used to ski a lot of park and you're looking to get into touring, I mean, I wouldn't recommend for you to stick with a straight park ski. But like something like the Blaze for them might be perfect, whereas something like the Zero G for an old racer is going to be a fantastic option.
Yeah.
So it really depend, at least for the ski itself, like what you like to do. There's no one ski for everybody.
Yeah.
Switching over towards bindings, I mean, I like pin bindings in the backcountry. If you're going to ski on resort, it doesn't make sense to. If you're going to have a one ski quiver, a shift does make sense.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Is like we walked one blow up today. Like I've seen countless blow
up. I know there's a lot of issues with them, and I'm not going to get into those.
So PT, Duke PT, or shift. What's the choice?
Oh, a shift nine times out of ten. Yeah. The Duke PT is an icing nightmare. I haven't actually used one myself, but there are so many moving parts. I'm not going to bad talk anything. I personally would not spend my money on a Duke PT.
Dude, now, it's $700, $800 now, or something. Like it's so much money.
So this one's perfect. I have a younger brother. He's a great skier. He's been skiing on resort for years and years. I gave him a set of Atomic Bench Hetlers with shifts on it. Now, he skis 80% of the time at resort, and I got him a pair of the Dalbella Lupos, like the 110 one. So, it's awesome. He was super appreciative of it. I was really excited to be able to share that with him and to share the backcountry with him a few times now. But where he's skiing 90% of the time on resort, you know, those Lupos are more of a resort-oriented boot.
Totally.
Those, the Ben Chetlers are certainly, it's a lighter weight ski that has touring kept in mind, but it's not something that's just some super lightweight, doesn't really ski that well, only uphill focused.
Yeah.
It skis fantastically. And the shifts, like, they are what they are. I still have a pair of shifts on my Wrestler 11s. There is something to be said about that power transfer you get in a full Alpine setup. But if you're spending half your time out touring and half your time on resort, having anything with pins is going to be better. Even a kingpin setup. I mean, they have their pitfalls, sure. But just the sheer movability, the range of motion, how it's working out. I mean, if you're more than a 50-50 split, I would not recommend the shift. If you're looking for one ski quiver, you get out once in a while, get a shift with a pair of Kochis and whatever. And you could throw a shift on any ski. You could throw a shift on a Nordica Enforcer that has a sheet of metal straight through it and ski some super heavy, whatever boots they might be. You know, Lupos or Kochis are both fantastic boots, and those are boots that are downhill-oriented with touring capabilities.
Yeah. So I agree with everything you're saying. Like, what I kind of think, though, is, like, I say that Duke PT is shit, and I kind of mean it, but I kind of don't, because I've seen a lot of people use it and have really good success with it. I've also gotten 4 or 5 DMs of people leaving it at the trailhead, which is what I kind of predicted was going to happen, and, like, they forgot the toe.
Yeah, the toe piece. I think it's a really good binding in concept, but there's too many moving parts, and the reality is that most people going out there doing it, it's going to be too much, and if it's not clipped in exactly in the right spot, it's not going to work properly. And
I also think it's terrain dependent. I think it's like where you ski. Like if you ski, I think the 50-50 for a shift is perfect. I think if you're 80-20 Alpine, but you want a tour and you want a good option, I actually think the Duke PT is a good option for
absolutely.
But I think it's dog shit if you're like, I'm a 50-50 or more touring. Like,
yeah,
if
you're above 50% touring, you should.
There's three better
tell you
options
less
for
no.
less money,
you're
right?
To go check out what I do as a skier, but I consider myself to be like a decent skier. There's certainly a lot of people who are better than me out there, but the average person who's getting out is probably not skiing at the same level that I am.
Yeah.
Now, if I can go out and ski pin bindings all the time, chances are is that the majority of the people getting out there would also be fine on pin bindings. So if you are spending more than 80% of your time or more than 50% of your time out touring and you really want that touring focus, I mean, give pin bindings a shot. Let them fail on you for sure for once. If you can't accept them, you don't want to, and... I mean, give it an opportunity. If they don't work for you, they don't work for you. Yeah. But as far as the lightweight goes, I mean, if you want to go out and actually ski in the backcountry, take a few laps and really utilize it, that's the gear that makes sense for it. I mean, Dynafit's been selling these bindings in Europe for 15, 20 years now. And the only reason we're seeing more and more companies doing it is because part of their, I might butcher it, but part of their patent sort of ran out. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So part of the Dynafit.
But the Dynafit option sort of is still thing. Kind of a bit, like as far as Fitment, whatever. It's a different, conversation, whatever. No, I agree. And I also want to preface like kind of what we're talking about by saying like it's doesn't matter so much if you're like, I want to get into it. You should pick the best option for getting into.
Absolutely.
Country, right.
Because I mean, if you want to get a pair of the Contour things, the clip into Alpine bindings, do it.
That's
absolutely do it.
If you're going to get Daymakers, that's fine. Like, I think that's okay to start because the thing is, the skiing is expensive.
Oh yeah.
Unless you're ready to buy a new setup. And even then it hurts. Unless you're prepared to go in and spend money on a new setup, it's a lot of money. So to hear, that's why like I'm always pretty careful when I'm like, oh, this is dog shit, this is dog shit. Like I'm kidding, but I'm also like, I want you to know that if you're spending $700, $800 on a binding, it really needs to perform to a certain level. And it's got to be for a specific kind of person. So as soon as 80% ski resort guy turns into 50% ski resort guy, I no longer think it's a great option.
Yep.
You know, and I think that that happens more often because like, for example, this is like my trajectory. It was like I was going 70 days, maybe more on resort, and I was doing like two or three backcountry days, right? For me at that time, Duke PT would have been the best option. But if next year I was like, I'm touring well over half, like probably 70, 80% of what I'm doing. If you're to go to me as the consumer and be like, that binding sucks for what you're doing now, I'm going to be pissed and I'm going to be annoyed at everybody that sold me the binding. I'm going to be annoyed at the company. So that's why I think it's very important for shops listening, for people on sales floors, for companies to be very honest about what the product is for and to be very forthcoming with it because it's not the case, right? They say this one ski quiver is my least favorite term in the ski industry because there's really no such thing. You want to get the closest option for the longest amount of time. And there's just not many great options for it. And, you know, it's been progression year after year after year, and it just doesn't matter. It doesn't change things in the way that we'd like to see them change if there's that option. You know, like, and part of the reason is because if you sell somebody something that does everything perfectly, even if it did exist, they're not going to buy anything else. Why would they buy another ski? Why would they buy another binding? Like, honestly, like, why would they?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying there.
I mean, it's like you easily could merge something like an Alpinist and something like a Duke PT, and I guess you get a Kingpin, but there's like, there are kind of options out there, you know? Like, it's a very weird situation to be in because shit's expensive and this is a niche sport.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, I do hear what you're saying on that end. And I mean, like you said, year to year, it could change. It really depends on what you are doing and what your intention is.
Yeah. People think I just hate on that binding for no reason. I don't hate on that binding for no reason. I hate on that binding because I think if you're going to spend $700, your needs as a skier change. If you're buying that level of commitment and product, right? If you're spending that much money on a quarter of your setup.
But I think it's so important to recognize the difference between your personal preferences.
Totally.
And what's good for everybody. Like people will come in and ask me, oh, what do you think of the Enforcer? Like, I hate the Enforcer. Absolutely. The Enforcer is not a ski for me at all. I don't like stiff skis. I don't like a lot of metal in my skis. I feel like it tries to do one thing and it has this Fugazi rocker that really doesn't really do anything. It's like a stiff ski that has a rocker. I don't.
Yeah. Do you ski the new one?
The free 104?
No, the current rendition of like the 94 or the 100.
Yeah, it's like it's the same thing.
It's a little better. It's
I got on the free 104. I like the free
104. You like that better?
Oh, God. Yeah, I like a soft ski. But this is exactly it.
See, you know what's funny is like earlier you were talking about you like the stiffer touring ski.
I like a stiffer touring ski for steeper terrain.
But I like my Transalp, which is like a toothpick, and I fold that thing in half, but it's actually really fun. A lot of turns, like I enjoy that.
Yeah.
But like on, like if I'm taking lift laps, so this is a good example in how much people's preferences differ. if I'm taking resort laps, I want something with a lot of metal in it, and I want to be able to ski it fast, and like I want no chatter. And I'm also like, I probably have 80 pounds on you too. It's like, we're in a different category.
No,
you
know? I hear what you're saying though. So, but also like on that same note, yesterday or 2 days ago now, I was at Saddleback, and I was looking in the car. I brought all my skis out, and I had the Zero Gs, the Wrestler 9s, and the Wrestler 11s. Well, I got the Wrestler 9s too short. I got them in a 180. I like a tall ski.
Yeah.
So I don't want to ski those in resort because just with the rocker, it's not enough effective edge. So I ended up skiing the Wrestler 11s all day. Now, those are 114 underfoot. They're 188.
Yeah.
They are certainly not a hard pack sort of day, but they have enough metal in it and they're a big enough ski and they have enough effective edge. You know, like the ski technology has gone so far that I was skiing that all day long and I had so much fun on it. I was just able to absolutely.
Wow, that's so weird that you like a Wrestler and you don't like an Enforcer.
But it goes back to not every ski works for everybody.
That's true. It's totally true. But that's why it's so interesting. 100%.
Where it's just because I like something or don't like something doesn't mean that that's an option for absolutely everybody out there. And even like, I don't know, like I keep going back and forth between, I really like the new ATK bindings that are coming out. Andrew's been starting to sort of stock those up a bunch. And those are fantastic. They do really, really well. And I really like them like 85% of the time. But I was telling you earlier, like the one pitfall I've found is like on a chattery sort of day, if it's a super hard packed day, they do not like that chatter.
Yeah.
Now, if it's normal snow and good skiing, I've seen my friend, I've seen Jackie Passo like absolutely balls to the wall ski those bindings and had no issues. And if she can do that on those bindings, it's a little reassuring for someone like me.
Yeah.
It should be reassuring for most of the people out there.
Yeah.
But that being said, like it's just skiing the same bindings on a chattery surface. They just, they really do not like it. And the Dinafits, I feel like, have a bit more elasticity in the heel on that end.
Yeah.
Andrew
is Ski the Whites for people not aware of what we're talking about. He's mentioned Andrew three times by first name only, but yeah, Andrew Drummond is the owner of Ski the Whites. You should definitely like
if you're interested in skiing, check them out. Like touring.
He's been a great guide for me as I've been learning more and more and more about this. Like he's been excellent for that. So shout out to Andrew for that as well.
Yeah, he's a really great guy and he just overall cares. He wants to expand the industry overall, wants to get people out there. He's always happy to help out. If you're in the Conway area, the North Conway area, heading over to Washington, swing in. If you need rentals or anything, he has rentals. He's able to provide you with information, and he's just a really great person to chat with and get some beta from overall. Yeah.
And it's funny, like we started off talking about, and we've kind of come full circle here, but we started off talking about how can you learn more? How can you get more engaged? That dude, go blow up that dude's phone. You know, like that, honestly.
Don't
like,
blow up my phone. Blow up his phone.
They have a crew of people there that are totally willing to help you. Like, get in touch with me. Get in touch with Zach. Like, I mean, obviously. However, like a lot of what I've learned has come from that guy. Like, and watching what he does and taking pointers from. And they've got a great crew there. I think there's a big opportunity for people that are in New England to gain some expertise from a lot of people who are like kind of like feeding each other information, and that's how people grow. And I think that's really important for the industry
they
overall.
Do have, I might have like, I don't have statistics in front of me or anything, but they have by far, at least from what I've seen, the biggest uphill demo 100%. Fleet in New England. This side of the country, they have an absolutely insane demo fleet. If you want to try skiing, you want to try tech bindings, if you want to get your kids out touring and they've never been, they have the stuff to make it happen. I'm working on setting it up with Mount Abram right now to get an uphill demo fleet over that way. So in Western Maine, there'll be a fantastic option for people as well. But right now, especially in the North Conway sort of area, I mean, this is the best store around. If you're looking for any sort of uphill gear needs, they'll be able to answer your questions.
I'll be honest, like I don't even look at him like a store, because like technically he's a competitor of mine, you know, but like at the end of the day, I look at him like a place to get information, like an actual
Resource. And on that same sort of note, like what I've been doing with Inclusive Ski Touring, and then so I recently took on a position at Mount Abrams and sort of we got to figure out a little bit more specifics on it. But a lot of the focus is going to be expanding their uphill program there. And I'm right now headlining on getting an uphill demo fleet for them for next season, which I'm incredibly excited about. And I can't wait to have that going over there.
Yeah.
But I've reached out to Andrew now a few times and been like, hey, do you mind sharing with me the rep for this person or the contact for over here? And it is a direct competitor of what he's doing. Like, it's an hour and a half away offering uphill demos. Yeah. He does not care at all. He is excited that someone else is doing it. You know, when I first started hosting these group tours, he was more than happy to share it on his newsletter as well. Even though he has his own events, he's been doing all that. He's someone who truly cares about the community and just wants to see it
grow. Andrew did not pay us to say these nice things about him either. No. That's important to know. Like, but yeah, I think what he's doing is very important. And it's helping people like you do more of this stuff. And I think that that's really...
He's been a huge asset for me. I wouldn't be able to be where I am. I wouldn't know the knowledge that I have. And I wouldn't know the people that I know if I hadn't met him. And that was simply from how that started. Going back again full circle is just volunteering at these things. I was some kid who definitely didn't look like he knew what he was doing at all.
Yeah.
And I would show up and be like, hey, what can I do to help out?
Yeah.
Like, I care. This is me showing that I care.
All right. On that note, where can people find Inclusive Ski Touring? Where can people find you on social? Where can people find more information? Plug away. This is your time.
All right. So you can find me on Instagram at just ZMCCART, ZMCCART. You're also able to find the Inclusive Ski Touring page at Inclusive Ski Touring. Please check out our website, www.inclusiveskitouring.com. I have spent countless hours now trying to build that up. One thing I'd like to note on the aspect of Inclusive Ski Touring is inclusive does not just mean inclusive for all ability levels. We're certainly, the organization isn't focused specifically on diversity within the outdoor industry. There's a lot of different groups right now who are doing incredible work on that end. But we do recognize fully that diversity is a huge, I don't want to say issue. I'm really bad with
trying to formalize. No, I think it's an issue. It is an issue.
Word that sort of stuff. Like, so work with me on that end. But just there's a lack of diversity through the outdoor industry. There's a lack of people feeling comfortable. And Inclusive Ski Touring really wants to remain an ally for people of the BIPOC or LGBTQ plus community, whoever it might be. The mountains are for absolutely everybody. That doesn't mean everybody minus those communities, minus people that you don't like from whatever your personal misgivings. If you believe the mountains are for everybody, that is absolutely everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are a member of one of those communities, you want to get out touring, you've never been touring before, again, reach out. Whatever I can do to make you feel more comfortable getting out, I will do. If I have to get you a free touring setup to try for the first time, I will make that happen. I just really wanted to make sure that I touched on the fact on how we feel about diversity.
No, of course.
I'm really trying to I'm not the best at elaborating myself sometimes, but it's something that's really, really important to us.
I think it's huge. And I think it's a topic that kind of my worry with it, to be perfectly honest with you, is that there's going to be that, like, the token Hispanic guy now, you know, like, that's what I'm worried about.
Totally
the token Arab guy. Like,
I had,
I'm Arab, right? Like, it's like, I know zero other Arabs that I go skiing with. Like, I mean, Anthony Lahoot, that doesn't count really, but like, because he's
like,
I had
a person of color who I was chatting with, who's a snowboarder, and he's like, dude, like, do you know any other black snowboarders? I don't.
Dude,
like, I am the only. And I had another person who had sent me a message to the Inclusive Ski Touring page, and it was, I'm not entirely sure everything about them, but they were a little bit upset about my usage of the word inclusive, and had specifically said, like, this looks like a group of all white males going out. And it's hard because I have no control of who comes out here. I'm not going to say you're not welcome or you're not welcome. Absolutely, as everyone is welcome.
The point
the diversity
is that everyone
aspect
yeah.
through the outdoor industry is that there isn't a lot of people. There isn't a lot of people
of color.
It's
a real problem. You were worried about using it as like using issue as it is an issue. Like, and the issue is not that you're a person of color. It's the industry's issue of not providing access to these types of things. Like, it is so easy, and I've used this analogy before, to go play basketball, to go play football. You sign up for a team, the school makes you do it, like, or not makes you do it, but allows you everything you need.
And I can't do it perfectly, but that's what I'm trying to do with Inclusive Ski Touring.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying
send me that message. I will try to do my best to get some demos
or
something.
What people don't want to be is that token guy here and there, right? Like,
absolutely.
You don't want to be, and that's, that's my...
You don't want to have somebody come out, and I'm like, even, I wouldn't want to take extra pictures of one person if they came out who was a person of color and make them feel uncomfortable or like I was using them as a poster boy. Like, that's ridiculous. No, and that's unfair to that person.
That's good to hear. I think that's an important part of it, too, because from the outside, I mean, you're a white dude that's like, just wants to like do something better, you know? And I think that's really important, and it shouldn't matter at all. Like, it should matter that you want to do something better for other people. I think that's the most important part. Sure. And that should be the sticking point that really matters. I don't know how a better option could be presented, right? Like, there's just not... We need to figure out a way to get more people on the Hill. I think as an industry, and I've said this before, as an industry, we need more people skiing, period.
Oh, yeah.
It does not, it's not a more complicated statement than that. It's not a more, we need more Asian American people. We need
more skiing. There's more money. We need straight up more. I'm not saying who they are, where they're coming from, whatever their beliefs are.
And more people. I'll tell you what, like, you're going to learn more from different types of people, period. Point blank. The industry will grow, and it actually will create a more inclusive space, but also create a healthier industry overall. And it's not just about the industry. It's feeling welcome, like you belong here. Like, I just had this conversation with Indra a few weeks ago, and it's important to just feel like you really matter and that like you're well, and that you're just like welcome to just go. Like, you're welcome to just go. And I'm not speaking for anybody, but I think that's from the outside looking in, I think it's important. I really think it's important for people to just feel like they can just show up and do it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how simple it should be. It's not right now, obviously, but like...
No, but that's what we're trying to embody.
That's what we're trying to do, is like, you just show up and you go skiing, and that's how simple it is.
Yep.
That's how it should be for every single person, doesn't regardless of anything.
Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter anything about you. Like, I... Totally. Not saying it doesn't matter, but we don't care who you are, what you like to do, who you want to spend your evenings with. If you want to come out and come skiing, you're welcome to join us. We encourage you. We want to see absolutely everyone there. We are going to encourage everyone there, and it's going to remain a safe and inclusive space for absolutely everybody.
And I want to be very sure that I'm saying, too, that, like, I don't think you're fixing the world with this. You know, like, I don't think you're fixing...
Oh, of course not.
I don't think I am. I don't think... that I am by saying it. Like, I just think it's important for people to know that at the end of the day, what we want skiing to be is skiing. You go out and you go skiing. Yeah. That's to me, the simplicity of it. It's fun. Like, you have a good time. Nobody gives a shit if you started yesterday or you started.
It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're having 50 fun, years from now, you are the best person out there. Yep. If you're having fun on the mountain, you're the best skier on the mountain. Whoever's having the most fun is the best. They're doing it.
They're the winner. Perfect. That's a perfect place to end. Zach McCarthy, thank you. That was great.
Thank you, Adam.
That was episode who knows what with Zach McCarthy. Please check out Inclusive Ski Touring. Tell your friends, go skiing. Go skiing at Mount Abram on Sundays. Go ski touring. It's a great crew. They've got a great thing going on. And let us know what you thought of this episode. Shoot me an email, adam@outofpodcast.com, and we'll chat. All right. On Tuesday, I believe, we've got a great episode for you. We might have an okay episode for you, but I haven't recorded it yet. So I'll tell you about it when that comes out. Thanks. Bye.